Today on another haunting episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. We all do it as we go through our days. Sometimes we tend to misplace things, oftentimes by our own doing. But what happens when objects, sometimes very important items, go missing with no explanation, almost vanishing into thin air? Today, we hear the haunting story of this mysterious phenomenon in action on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And yes, 855-853-4802, our phone number, call it 24/7. Share your ghost story with us. And if you want access to all of our episodes, all commercial free, including the bonus episodes that only our supporters get, then check it out. They're called EPPs, Extra Podcast People. That's what our supporters are. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com to get in on all of that. Or if you like Patreon, we're on there as well. Same content, all the bonus stuff, all the extra stuff, all the advanced stuff, no ads, all commercial free. Go to patreon.com/realghoststories or on the Patreon app, just search Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
You know, it's an interesting time of the summer where I live because it's 10 till 9 p.m. when we're doing the show. And it's really not even dark enough outside to turn your lights on your car.
No, same here right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I love this time of year. I wish it was like this all the time.
I could totally take this all the time. I was just thinking of that last night. I was driving back home. We did a little Dave and Buster's run yesterday, me and Harp and some friends and stuff. And it was like 8. Yeah, right around now. It's like about 8:50. And I'm like, this is almost 9 o'clock. And it's like still kind of sunny in where we were. And it was just like, this is great. And I was thinking,
man, I love it.
But I was thinking then back to, you know, when we are in, when it's dark is daylight savings time, correct? Or savings right now.
I don't ever remember.
Which is the winter version of it, whatever it is.
Right. When you fall back.
And it's like dark at 5 o'clock. And it's just like, it's so freaking depressing. Having these extra hours of sunlight during the day, I cannot tell you how much happier I have been feeling. Yeah. And it's all that. It's all the damn sunlight. And I don't know. I mean, I've really noticed it this year of just like, my goodness, how much that affects me. I used to really love nighttime. I still do in the right setting and everything, but I don't know. The older I get, the more stress and things I have in my life, the more I need that sunlight. And yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I could be out mowing my yard right now. My neighbors might not like it, but I could be mowing my yard.
I know.
I don't have to because I did it yesterday, but still.
Yeah. It's like, it's fun for a month. And then I'm like, let's bring the sun back, please. It's like you go to bed in the dark, you get up in the dark.
I know. I hate that.
And it's just, ugh. So I love summer. I love summer right now. Fall used to be my favorite. I think summer has won that out. Although I do like the activities of fall better than summer, but.
And the temperatures. Because it's been really hot here.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, fall is questionable here as to where it goes, if it's going to be hot or cold. Same with spring. It was like winter all spring and then boom, summer started. So.
Oh yeah. Like major summer, like 100 degrees.
Yeah. It literally went from like 50s and 60s every day to 90, 100. And like, okay, here's what we're doing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this first letter. It says, hello, Real Ghost Stories Online crew. This is Rachel in Portland, Oregon, proud EPP going on 3 years now. But I've been listening since the beginning. I've also sent in several stories, one of which was the EPP hooded figure. It has been several years since I last wrote in a story, but life has been a bit crazy. Now in a place where I feel like sharing some more, so here it goes. This story takes place about 7 years ago in an icky little town in southern Oregon called Chiloquin. I lived there for 4 years with my ex and 3 sons. My ex and I had a small woodworking business making keef boxes, weed stash boxes. We lived on a hill in the forest on the edge of town. My ex had a old fifth wheel camper that he gutted and turned into a workshop. One night I was working late in the boxes and listening to Real Ghost Stories Online very loud in my stereo, worked right in front of a window that looked out over the garden. Some nights when the moon was lit up full, it lit up everything well enough that I could see everything in the forest. This night there was no moon. As I worked and enjoyed the podcast, I got a terrible, panicked feeling out of nowhere. I now know that I am very empathic, clairaudient, clairsentient, and a bit psychic. I wasn't fully aware of my abilities at this time. Anyways, this feeling that came over me was very strong and very urgent. I looked up at the window and it was pitch dark, but I absolutely knew that there was someone or something watching me out there. It scared me so bad I turned off the podcast, the lights, and I just called it a night. Now, every night I would lie on the couch after everyone went to bed and scroll Facebook to wind down. This is when the iPhone 5C was new, and I had the bright blue one. I eventually fell asleep on the couch, but was woken shortly after by my ex telling me to come to bed. My phone had died, so I plugged it in at the charging station in the kitchen and went to bed. Next morning, I woke up hours before everyone, as was my routine. It was my job to chop wood, start a fire in the living room fireplace, and make a pot of coffee. I'd always check my phone before doing all this, though. It meant I had an unhealthy attachment to my phone and had my reasons. Let's just say my ex was extremely abusive mentally and physically, very controlling, too. If I had to mesh two people together to sum them up, I'd say Ted Bundy and Jim Jones together. Oh, that's a nice combo.
Oh, my God.
Ted Bundy and Jim Jones. Holy shit. Wow. Well, yes. Yes, I understand. So my phone was just a way to escape my reality. I was dependent on it for a speck of sanity in a very hostile environment. So I went to the counter to get my phone off the charger, and it was gone. I looked around for my phone frantically. All the while, I was trying to keep the fire going. Go outside, chop some kindling to bring the fire, look for my phone while the fire grew, went back and forth from outside to the fire several times, took my ex's phone and used the flashlight on it to search everywhere for my phone. I kept the house very tidy for obvious reasons, so I couldn't understand how a whole neon-colored iPhone just disappeared. I searched like crazy through the entire house. Eventually, I gave up and chose to sit in front of the now roaring fire to sip my coffee without my precious phone. I was crouching in silence, staring at the fire for a while. I was pulled from my thoughts when something alerted me. That's what I call it when an entity tries to communicate with me via clairaudience. It almost feels like when you get a ping alert on your phone. Someone maybe well said, hey, but it happens in my mind. I was now fully alert and spun around to see if there was anyone there. I knew my ex and boys were still asleep, so it wasn't them. I could feel someone there. I knew I wasn't alone, so I simply said, go away. I was about to stand up, but as I did, my foot hit something cold and hard. It was not the soft rug under my feet, but my neon blue iPhone. My takeaways from this experience was that a ghost took my phone during the night. Perhaps it wanted to listen to ghost stories too, and it gave back after watching my search for it. What a dick ghost, LOL. Hope you all like the story. I've been holding on to it and a few others for years now. I've learned through that when you have abilities like I do, the ghostly encounters don't end. Thank you for reading. Stay spooky. And remember to share your light. Thoughts on that?
You know, we've talked about that happening before, how you know something was someplace and then it's just not there. And then later it shows up again.
Yes.
And I don't get that. It's like, so I'm assuming like something paranormal happened, like, but does the phone, like, how does it move? Like it just floated, you know?
I don't
it's
know.
It's just the weirdest damn thing.
Does it disappear? Does it reappear? This is what one of the questions I have when people have experiences like this and you have security cameras, because there's like houses that would never have had security cameras in the past have security cameras now. So I'm waiting for more interesting things like that to come up. And with good footage, like now that everyone has security cameras, they are good quality too. They're not like the black and white in the upper corner, you know, that doesn't catch shit. So I don't know. I'm very interested to hear a story like this. And then
some of those videos that you see, like totally creep you out. And then some of them are like, yeah, somebody was.
Yeah. And it's easy to tell.
It doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
But it's like the phone moved.
Uh huh.
And I'm like, is there just like some block in front of you? Like you can't see. I don't, it's just the weirdest thing. But how did you know damn well mm-hmm. if you put, if you, you're charging your phone or you set your phone down. You know, we all lose our phone sometimes daily or weekly. And there's that panic. But it's like, wait, I just had it. You know, I was listening to a podcast. I set down my phone. I went outside and did this.
When you're looking back and forth for it over and over and over and over, and then suddenly it's just like there, that's the weirdest thing. Because you...
Especially
you,
like she yeah. hit it with her foot or yeah. he did.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she...
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just... Yeah.
Like I just... That is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Because I had to just like... Because you would think if a video caught it, it's just floating out there.
And why? Why did it go away?
Just floated to the... Yeah. And it's like, ghost. Because it's like, why are you messing with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not my phone.
Very bizarre.
It's a lifeline.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just wondering if... Did that slow something down? Did that prevent something from happening with her having the phone at those moments? Like, was there a reason it was pulled out of their hands? And now, you know? I mean, almost like, you know, why did I turn down this road? I otherwise wouldn't have. But if you have your phone, like, I don't know. There's... Because everything influences something. And so speaking through a phone to someone else will have some bearing on what that person does next after hanging up that phone. Whether it be absolutely nothing at all or something that was talked about on the phone. You know, all those things, there's a balance to everything. And it's kind of creepy when you look at like just what one simple decision in life creates. You know, if you look at where this everything spiders out to, it's
exactly,
it's amazing.
Because, you know, especially the going down one road, like, well, I don't know why I did that. All of a sudden I just did. Well, maybe it kept you from.
Yeah.
A horrific accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just, that's just interesting to me.
It is. It's just, it's like cracking ice. It just, it keeps going. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And let's jump over to a phone call and hear what this individual has to say.
This is Tiki calling again from Wilmington, Delaware. I just happen to be up right now listening to your show, and I see that we're featured on Cycle Man, me and my son Walter. So I was just compelled to tell this story. Before I tell this story, please don't judge me, Tony and Jenny. I was so young at the time and did a lot of dumb things, but like I'm 42 years old now, so I'm, you know, older. But this happened when I was about 17. 17, I was kind of a rebellious kid, but I just had Walter. So he was about 3 months old, and I lived with my aunt. And I used to call her my mom because she was just like such a motherly figure to me, more so than an aunt. But at that time, her father was sick, and he came to stay with us. Now, mind you, I didn't really know too much about Alzheimer's then, but I just knew that he was coming to stay with us because he had Alzheimer's. Okay, everything was fine at first until the sickness started to progress, and he became, to me, like, almost like a pain in my bottom because the things he would do. Like, he had this cane. I just remember him having this wooden cane that he walked with, and he, if we were sitting near him or we walked by, he'd just swing the cane and hit us in our legs or our back or our knees or wherever that cane landed is where it landed. And, I mean, he'd be really swinging. It's not like, oh, he's just tapping you with it. No, he's swinging it. Like, he's swinging for the Atlanta Braves or just the Orioles or anything. I don't know. It was just, like, with a whole lot of force. And then he would, like, if he was sitting next to you, he'd just, out of nowhere, just start cussing you out and, you know, telling you to move or being mean. And it'd be times that he just make you feel really bad about yourself, really low. But it was a point where I like was really like, you know what, you want to keep on doing mean things to me, I'll show you about being mean. That's the type of mind frame that I was in with him, because it was like me and him were like back and forth with this, who was going to do what worse. But don't judge me. Please don't judge me. So like this one time, I remember Walter's diaper. His diaper was wet, and I kind of like opened it up and got like the silicone pieces out, and I started to throw them at him. So he was swinging this cane around thinking it was a bunch of flies flying around him. And me, I just remember me and my sister Tiffany just laughed and laughed, because he was just like, oh, it's too many flies all around. So then I'm like, yeah, it is. We need to get the flies. Swing the cane. Pop, swing the cane. And like, he's steady swinging it, and we're steady throwing more pieces at him. And I remember another time he sent me to the store to get him like a book of matches. And people know that matches are free, but I told him the matches were $20. I remember taking his money and going to get me a CD, a R. Kelly CD, and just coming back with the book of matches. And he's just like, I don't have no change. I said, oh no, they're high. Like, I don't believe they were that high, but they were, but here's your book of matches. And I don't even know why my stupidity would get a man with Alzheimer's a book of matches when he wasn't even allowed to have those type of things, because he would take matches and he would light them and just throw them on the floor. So that was another dumb thing I did, but wasn't really thinking about it at the time, just thinking about being mean because he was being mean to me. And it was other times he would scream at us to get him some gin and find his gun that he had. I guess he had an old-time gun at his house before he came to live with us, but he would always try to make us search the whole house for the gun. Or he'd be like, go get my gin, find my gin now. So I'd go and get him some sugar water and make him drink that. And just he'd be like, oh, this is good, but it tastes like sugar water. And I'm just like, oh, no, it's gin. It's good. Pop. And he'd be like, yeah, it's good. Thank you. And, you know, and then, but not all the time. I'm not going to say he was just mean all the time. It was just sometimes he would go into that zone. But at that time, like I said, I was young and dumb, and I didn't really know too much about the disease that I know now. But, so this went on for maybe a couple months until his sickness really, you know, took over a lot. And he ended up passing away. Now, the night that he passed away, everybody came to the house from different states who were visiting, you know, going to be there for the funeral or whatever. So we ended up being put out of our rooms. My sister and me and a couple of my cousins were down in the basement sleep where he used to sleep. Now, mind you, it was a finished basement. It was nice. It had, like, you know, the typical TV, couch in a bedroom, in a bed or whatever. It was really nice. But we were down there sleep, and Walter, around 3 o'clock in the morning, ended up throwing up. Like, I could hear him gargling or something. So I like picked him up and turned the light on, and his throw up just shot out. I mean, and it was just like a weird throw up. It was like almost like The Exorcist when she spit, like when she threw up on the priest. It just came out like that, nothing but milk. So I'm just like, oh gosh, Walter. And I'm just cleaning him up and cleaning myself up in the bed, and something just told me to look. So I turn my head, and lo and behold, my pop is sitting in the chair just looking at me. And I'm like, did I just see what I thought I saw? Like, I had to really do a whole double take, because I'm thinking, okay, I'm tripping. Because the first time I looked, I'm just like, oh, not really paying any attention. So then I look back at Walter, and then I'm just like, wait a minute. And I look back, and he's still sitting there. And I'm just like, I'm tripping. Oh, my gosh. And he sort of, like, nods his head, like, yeah, you see me. I see you. And I just remember taking Walter under my arm like a football. And I mean, like, a literal football is how I was holding him. And I just remember screaming to my cousins, Kia, Tiffany, all y'all get up. I just seen Pop. We got to get out of here. So I remember just holding him and running up the steps really fast, going to the other room where the other family members were sleeping. And they were just like, oh, you saw him. Oh, he just came back to, I guess, let us know that he was okay. And, you know, they weren't too worried about it. And so I was just like, no, I got to get out of this house. Like, you don't understand the things that I did. This man is coming back for me. Like, because that's what I was thinking at the time. And so nothing really happened after that. But just, like, after the funeral and all, everybody left and everybody's going back to their daily routines, one night one early morning, like around 3 o'clock in the morning, I remember laying in the bed and I couldn't move for nothing. But I would hear all these sounds around me and it was creeping me out and I was trying to move and I couldn't move. And I'm just like thinking to myself, what is going on? Because I've never had that feeling before, but I did learn that it's like either you're going into a lucid dream or the witch is riding your back. So at that time, I believe that's what it was, the witch riding my back, because the noises and the sounds around me, it would just have me freaked out. And I just remember it finally let me go and I just hopped up like, oh my God, what was that? But not really paying that much attention to it. So then the next night, about 5 o'clock in the morning, I was getting ready to go to school. I had to be at my bus stop around 7. So I was sleeping. I had went, you know, got dressed, took my shower and got dressed, and it was still early. It was about 6:30. I had to be out at 7. So I sat in a chair that was near my door to my room, and I was just thinking, okay, I'll just catch a little Z's before I have to go catch the bus. So I just remember sitting there, and no sooner did I get comfortable, I just got this feeling that I couldn't move. And I'm just sitting in a chair like, oh, my God, what is going on? Like, this is happening again. And all of a sudden, I heard, like, a person walking up the stairs. And the only way I can explain it is they were walking up the stairs with a cane. So, you know, you hear the cane, step, step, cane, step, step. And I'm just thinking, oh, my God, he is coming to get me. So I just remember trying to pray, trying to do anything, trying to get up out that chair. And with so much force, it had me like stuck to the chair. And by the time I could hear him at the top of the steps, it finally let me loose. And I was able to like break loose. And I kind of like flew toward the bed. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. This is, I don't know what to do anymore, because this has been going on now for like weeks. So I remember going to school that day and telling a friend of mine what had happened, what I had did first and what was going on now. And he was just like, you know what? You need to go home and you need to really ask God to forgive you, number one. And you need to ask your grandfather to forgive you, number two, because that's probably what it is. He's just haunting you because of what you did and how you treated him. So I was just like, you know what? You have to be right. What else can I lose? So I remember going home, gathering my sister when she got off of school, and I told her, look, we need to pray. We need to really pray and ask God to forgive us and ask Pop-Pop to forgive us too. So we went to my room and we got on our knees and we started praying. And as soon as, like, I was just like, you know what? God, please forgive me for this. Like, this was wrong of me. And I said, Pop-Pop, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I'm just so sorry. I'm so sorry I did that to you. And no sooner did I say that, the air and everything in the room just shifted. And it was just almost like I could breathe again. Like, it was just like a relief. And that never, like, he never came back after that. I never had any more experiences with him, but it just always felt like something was in the basement. Like every time I would go down there, like somebody was there with me, but I never, like he never haunted me again after that. And I never like did anything to anybody elderly after that. Not ever, like ever. That was something that I really had to learn, and it scared the bejesus out of me. But that's another, I have other stories, but this was one that really terrified me as a child, at 17.
I can totally see that being extremely terrifying at 17.
That was a really interesting story.
Yeah.
And like at the beginning of it, it like for real, that bothered me a lot. But because the way she was treating her grandpa. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that you don't know what you don't know. And what you know when someone has dementia, and if you don't understand it and you're a teenager, and no one's really taken the time to explain it to you.
Sure.
He's really horrifically mean.
Yeah.
You know? And so I get, you know, I guess I don't understand why you treat him like that. But if you don't understand it, you're just doing to him what he's doing to you.
Yeah, just kind of going back and forth, really.
So is it right? Absolutely not. And I think that was established.
Yeah.
And like, I just thought it was very interesting then when it was like, I am so sorry I did that. Mm-hmm. Then it went away. But then I don't think he could judge over that either, because, you know, if no one's taken the time to explain what dementia does and how it affects the brain and how people can get really mean, people who are never mean, you know, women who don't, or sure, men who never cussed, very godly people,
yeah,
can start cussing like a sailor.
Yeah, because essentially it's eating away parts of your brain that would regulate that sort of thing, and it's not that person anymore.
And they can be very violent mm-hmm. and mean and all those things. And obviously that's what was happening.
Yeah.
But if nobody took the time to explain to the kids, this is what's happening.
I think we do a very poor job on anyone understanding these sort of things, honestly. I mean, in this country still to this day, I mean, there's so many people where you really kind of got to walk them through how you handle someone like that and how you treat them. And
a lot of times that's why you can't leave them in the home.
Yeah, exactly.
Because seriously, if somebody qualifies for Medicaid and you can yeah. find a decent place for them, you know, yeah. if you don't have any money, but it's just so hard on everybody yeah. in the family.
Well, the thing that
because you're not dealing with your grandpa, you're dealing with someone you don't even know at yeah. that point.
And what drives me nuts with so many families, I remember seeing this when I was a kid, and it was just, even I knew better at that point, but it was like, why? When someone is in the dementia state, they're not making a lot of sense, or their stories make no sense, constantly being, wait, no, that's not what's going on right now. No, you're here. Remember, you're at this. Yeah. It's like, just shut up and let them enjoy their boat sailing by the window.
Kind of meet them where they're at.
Exactly.
If they're like talking about
like what is it
their friends at school, then just start asking them about school.
It's such a narcissistic way of looking at things sometimes, where it's just yeah. like let's, you know, you're only saying that for yourself, not for their good. It's so you feel like you've corrected them. And what does that do? What good does it do in that sort of state? These are not like
10
children.
Minutes later, you got to correct them again.
Yeah, they're not going to.
They're
not
going to
learn anything. I know. I hate that. And it was just like, but I think it's kind of one of those, you don't know what you don't know too, things where some people, it wasn't discussed. There was no way to really know how to handle it if you hadn't been through it before. And a lot of people still handled things that way. And it wasn't all that long ago. And I think some people still do today. It's just, I don't know. It seems like kind of common sense, but it eludes a lot.
And how terrifying to have gone through that experience.
Yeah.
And then you see your grandpa sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like, oh my God, he's coming back to be mean to me again.
Exactly. Exactly. And
like, it was a good creepy story.
It was.
That was creepy.
It was. No, I mean, if you can relate to any time you've been kind of like out of it and like coming off of examples coming off of surgery and coming off of anesthesia, and you're like kind of like in your zone and you're like, whatever, I'm good. And then somebody's like, no, you're over, you're here now. This is what's going on. And this is not what happened to me last week. But I remember being jarred out of that once. And it's like, it's very confusing. Like, okay, it kind of comes back to you, but kind of not, because you're still kind of out of it. And it doesn't help. It's one of those things where, you know, let them just kind of float to the top and get there. Don't like, you know, put a big, you know, chute of water beneath them and just fly them out of the pool really quick in a water spout. It's just, yeah, slow and easy.
You know, I heard a story once about a woman who'd been in an accident and it affected her brain.
Yeah.
And all of her memory got all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kept asking for her husband who was dead. And the article, the woman's like, you know, it's just horrific. Every day she has to live through her husband's death again. And I'm like, no, she doesn't.
Yeah.
Like all you have to do is say, you know what? He's coming here in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
An hour later, they've forgotten that they asked.
Yep.
But don't make him relive this horrible memory. Just say he's at the stories at work. He's doing whatever. Make up any kind of stories. But last thing I would do would be telling someone over and over, day after day, Mom, you don't remember, but Dad is dead.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's just like some horrific torture.
It is. And it doesn't have to be.
And it's hard as it is, you know, as a child to be reminded that your dad's not there. Like, just be like,
if the last memory that they're always bouncing back to, that they're operating out of, that person is alive, then they'll keep bouncing back to that place where that person was alive and constantly reminding, just, it makes them freak out and mourn. I mean, but if you could just say they're at the store, they're not going to remember. You just said they're at the store because they're so bouncing back to where they were originally starting from.
Absolutely.
So yes, it sounds redundant to you, but have fun with it. He went skydiving. Can you believe that? Oh, And then, you know, sometimes you could have some interesting conversations and just kind of talk and maybe even get to learn about the person a little bit, because it might bring up some memories of that person's character and stuff. And I remember one time when he went there, or this or she went there, and that could be more interesting than just they're dead. If I'm that way,
like, where's the doctor and nurses in this? Like, why aren't they saying quit doing this to your poor mother?
I don't know. I hope if I'm that way someday that Harper will tell me like just crazy random shit, of which I know she will. She'll be great at it. And you know, like, where's your kids? Oh, they're working at the Hot Pocket factory today, Dad. They're making Hot Pockets for homeless iguanas on the streets of Los Angeles. I'm like, I didn't know iguanas ate Hot Pockets. Be great. So much fun. And it'll make me laugh, and that's all I want to do till I'm dead. Even if I'm really confused and really fucking out of it. Yeah, I'll just laugh at shit. That'll be great.
Exactly.
All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show and you want to get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all commercial free, check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories, or search Real Ghost Stories Online in the Patreon app. Get access to all the episodes. Like I said, everything's commercial free. $5 a month keeps us on the air. Check it out. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.